It is Monday, the 23rd of October. Michael Vaughn in Toronto with Brian Acker of Acker Finley. Brian, two things I want to talk to you about today. Shell and income trust.
Okay.
So let's start with Shell. Wow, what a move today.
Up 30% today. I mentioned it as one of my top picks on ROB last week.
Very timely.
Very timely.
Inside information. Yeah.
No, we had a huge upside to oil price. We have a oil price of $41.
What's Royal Dutch offering?
$40.
Oh,
I can't believe it. Oh man. These guys are going to have a fight. Even the market's saying it's going to be higher. You know, the current market price is around 42 and a half.
Do you have a model price, say, a year out?
Yeah, about $49.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're trying to get this thing on the cheap. Where's Jaroslawski? Where are these guys? I mean, expect this to be in the press for some time. I mean, Shell Canada's done the usual, the independent directors and da-da-da-da-da, but this thing is going, if Royal Dutch really wants Shell Canada, obviously they're going to have to pay a higher price than $40.
When did you start buying Shell for the fund?
At the beginning of this month.
When it fell off the cliff there.
When it fell off a cliff from 40, got down to about $30.
Yeah.
Our system just went nuts. We own it in the Canada Focus, obviously, 2.5% weight, and you know, I've been pounding the table, I've been recommending it, so anyway, that came to fruition. So there you go. Well, no insider information, though.
Royal Dutch better have a close look at that model price.
Exactly.
Proceed on it. Now, the other topic today, I want to talk about income trust.
Sure.
Because you have described this as the most significant tax event in Canadian history.
Right. In terms of, I think, realization. Bell shareholders, all of them, if they convert to an income trust, which is like, well, that's what will happen, all those people are going to have a taxable gain.
The widows and orphans who've held the stock for decades.
You know, since the 1930s and 40s. So when you actually start to think about it, as these big companies go to trusts, you know, that surplus in Ottawa is just going to grow and grow. This is going to be a huge taxable event. And every company, the way, you know, if they do trust, especially the big ones, I mean, a lot of people are going to be paying a lot of capital gains. So,
well, it is. It's a taxable event when they convert. But the point that certainly the media is making is about the tax leakage going forward.
Right. I don't really see the tax leakage argument, except for the foreigners. The foreigners, if you're outside of Canada, all you have to do is pay a 15% withholding.
Right.
That's a federal tax, not a provincial tax. So let's say if you are an oil company in Alberta, and you are an income trust, basically the only tax to someone in Florida, let's say, a resident of Florida, they're only paying the 15% withholding, which is a federal tax, and actually the provincial government in Alberta is not getting anything, which they get squat. So that's the only tax leakage. The most of the analysis I've seen is basically a deferral.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in your RSP or pension plans, but keep in mind, if you're allowed tax-free compounding, the government gets a bigger number at the end of the period anyway. So I don't really buy the tax. Plus, when you consider, as I said previously, if it's a taxable event, those corporate, the federal treasury will be overflowing with revenues if this
happens. Well, upon the conversion. But any tax distorts behavior. That which we can tax, we can destroy is the motto of governments everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This is making CEOs, I mean, they're almost irresponsible if they don't at least consider converting to an income trust because, boom, they get that 15-20% pop.
Are you more valuable as a company if you pay taxes or if you don't pay taxes? I think we all agree that you're worth more money if you don't pay taxes. And that's why Just as soon as you say the word, I'm thinking about a trust, your stock goes up 20%. Mm-hmm. You recognize that this is just tax arbitrage, okay?
Right.
But the long-term effects, maybe this is what the issues that John Manley are issuing, et cetera, I'm not convinced that management, if they have to continue on with the distribution versus investing in capital equipment.
Well, they have to keep the distribution going. They're not going to buy that new factory or machine because I got to keep the distribution up or the stock tanks.
Investors will not know what goes on behind closed doors.
Correct.
About those long-term decisions.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I put a big question mark on. Some CEOs, and there are a lot of them out there, in the trust world, as we've seen, have already taken the attitude, we got to keep that distribution, and for heaven's sakes, don't invest in plant and equipment or whatever.
Yeah.
So we've already seen that, so that's what I would worry about.
Well, we'll see the consequences on these companies in 5 or 10 years.
Right.
Now, what is your policy? When I look at the portfolio,
right,
I don't see income trust in there.
Right. So our policy is very, very simple, okay? So we look for upside tomorrow price.
Right.
Okay? So that's a very simple concept. But if a company contemplates going to a trust, what happens? The stock goes up 20%.
They get the upside.
So Why invest in income trusts? I mean, we're here to make money for our unit holders, pay our distribution. So I'm in all companies because at least I have a portfolio of stocks that may go to trust.
Right, right. So if you buy the trust, you're paying the premium already.
You're paying the premium.
If you own the companies that might convert.
Ah, all of a sudden you got a 20%. Plus we have an upside tomorrow price, which gives you a margin of safety. So why buy income trusts?
I see your point. Always interesting talking with you, Brian. See you in a week.
Glad to be here, Michael. Good to see you.